morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 50 minutes, around in there. I have with me someone today, and you know this person. He's on a lot. Why? Because I think he's an honorable, transparent man of integrity. And I've known him since he ran for that lesser office representative. I don't want you to tell them any of them I said that. But his name is Senator. First name is Senator. Middle name is Paul. Last name is Mark. He does so much for the rural communities, the urban. I mean, he's there for people. And I've sent people for his help, and they have gotten it. And they, so without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, my friend, if he'll admit it, and I wouldn't own up to it either, Paul Mark. How are you, Senator Mark?
I'm all right. How's it going? Good to see you. Actually on camera today.
I know. Well, don't tell me they're giving you time off for the holidays.
Oh, clearly I'm on my 6 week vacation.
Oh, wow.
But I just like to come to the state house for fun too.
Yeah. Oh, and hang out with the guys and the gals.
Yeah, exactly.
So where are you going on vacation? Ludlow?
Maybe Southwick, something like that.
Yeah. So, but it's been an, do I want to say an exciting year or challenging year.
Year
is probably a better word.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. There's been some ups, some highs, and a lot of lows, and then everything in between. And
yeah,
I am hopeful as we head into our sestercentennial of the United States, the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence next year, that 2026 will be a better year for everybody, and a optimistic year and a hopeful year and all of that. I really hope for everybody's sake
but we still have our challenges. I mean, on the world stage, what's transpired over this weekend it's left me, my head spinning.
Which thing?
Well, the murder at the Holocaust in Australia, the shooting of the murder of the kids at Brown, and the shooting of the MIT professor right in his house.
Yeah.
I mean, whoa.
Yeah, it's a moment of, I guess, frustration for a lot of people, and certainly a lot of uncertainty. The thing is, like you mentioned, one of them is on Australia. Like we hear about this disgracefully and unfortunately, we hear about it very often in the United States, more than anyone should reasonably accept. And to hear about it in a place like Australia, I think, makes you realize that we're certainly not unique. We stand out as an outlier, but it certainly is something that can happen. And I remember even last year, 2024, I think they did it by a truck. It wasn't with a gun, but there was attack on a Christmas market in Germany or something.
Berlin.
So, like, these mass acts of hate and of violence are nothing new, but boy, it is definitely a challenge and overwhelming when they all happen in rapid succession like this. So
when you think, I mean, I think back or just recently on the news, I think France has canceled their, I don't know how many years of tradition because they're afraid of terrorism. Other places have restricted it. I don't have an answer, but I am concerned that the world is starting to really spin out of control a little bit with some of these groups that are just loaded with hatred.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's so many, and I know we talk about it with social media, and I'm not going to sit here and just like blame social media because I know people were like, TV is going to do this horrible thing and comic books do this horrible thing. I mean, so it's beyond that. It's just another medium for people who want to spread anger and negativity and hatred to use it. Unfortunately, it is so much easier to access. It is so much easier for young people to access, and for people to access it, in the shadows. Like if you 20, 30, 40 years ago, 40 years ago, if you wrote something really hateful in a newspaper, especially like a letter to the editor or something, well, everyone knew it and everyone saw your name and generally was like, wow, that's not great. That person's not very nice. Today though, it just spreads in su such a different way. And I think there definitely should be a call into the new year of maybe soul searching and just, I don't know how you get to the root of human nature, but like what is wrong that is making this negativity? And there's certain politicians that certainly do nothing to help, but I will say that I don't think those people are the cause. I think they're the symptom. I think they're the reaction.
I would disagree with that. I think some people get caught up in the movement without, and my mother used to have a saying, my saintly Irish mother, don't you know? Engage your brain before your mouth. I forgot to mention, folks, this is New Year's Day, and this is the New Year's Day show. And I had, yeah, and I, well, I wanted Senator Mark on because he is perpetually giving of himself. I mean, he's got one, if not the largest Senate district in co the Commonwealth, or it depends on the day of the week. There it is. Other than that, nah, he's got a few towns here and there, a couple of cities. But when you talk to people, even people out in Chesterfield and all these, he's been there. He goes there. And when you see the legislation that he's brought up for rural busing and rural this and rural that, that's his own vision. That's his own, that is the Paul Mark that I know. And I thought, you know what? Let's have Paul Mark on. We kind of beat up a little bit of the end of 2024, which it deserves. But now we're going to look at, let's talk about what we have for the future and what we can do. We, me, you, Charlie Brown. I like to put myself in the group of people commonly and respectfully known as Joe and Mary Sixpack. Because not for their bellies, but what they put in their bellies. Paul, what I hope that this year we see civility.
I agree. So, all right. Now that I know this is the New Year's episode, Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh
Welcome to
yeah, I thought I
26.
told Paige. Maybe I did. I apologize.
We are talking to you from
She called me. I was in a doctor's
the
office,
past.
so.
No, all right. So what should happen in 2026, what I hope is going to happen, because it is a special moment, is that it's the 250th anniversary of our country. So in 2025, it was the 250th anniversary of the revolution started. That happened right here in Massachusetts, not
I
that
remember it
far.
well.
And the revolution was based on ideals that had to do ultimately with self-determination, having a voice in government, and objecting to a national, international government at the time, that was getting a little out of control and wasn't staying true to its ideals that people had believed in. And so as we move into 2026, and we look at the culmination of those events that happened in Massachusetts, which led to an idea that these colonies, eventually states, should break away from Great Britain and become independent, that the goal was a nation that would be able to grow, able to change, able to adapt, and able to make sure that people had a voice. And we recognize that who had a voice initially is different and has expanded significantly, as it should have. I think I think you and I don't think we could have voted in 1776 because there was religious tests, and if I'm correct, we're not the religion they
Yes, yeah. Pretty
wanted.
clearly.
So recognizing the ideals that we have fought for and struggled to meet and fought for around the world and defended around the world, I think it's time to renew what it means to be a democracy, what it means to be
Yeah.
in a country of liberty and freedom, and also what it means to participate in how. Because if democracy, what they were afraid of, now the Constitution wasn't 1776, it was 1788, 1787, 1788. What they were afraid of was giving us too much democracy. They staggered it. Like the House of Representatives was direct democracy, and the U.S. Senate was elected by the legislature. People of the state did not vote for the U.S. Senate until the 1910s, and the Electoral College was set up to be kind of a buffer and kind of a balance between like Congress picking the president and the people picking the president. And they were afraid too much democracy would mean that maybe we would fall for the glamorous ad in the magazine and buy the thing we don't need instead of buying, what we
Oh,
actually need to
yeah.
get. So, I just taught a class at BCC about government, and I think it was really eye-opening for them. I do this when I teach the class on government. I make the students all pick an idea, and then over the class term, we end up narrowing it down to one. And at the end of the term, like we kind of discuss. So there were 12 ideas.
Oh, wow.
Why did the other 11 of you like shift to supporting this one? And it's really eye-opening as to like why Congress works the way it works and blah, blah, blah. Yes, I'm sorry. I've been going on too long.
No. Because this is what we need to understand. Because not only is it the celebration of our anniversary, we have a country that's kind of being pulled at from every angle about this democracy. Some people see democracy as just giving everybody everything. And other people, say you should be rewarded for your contribution. And I, hey, listen, I'm no historical, I'm old, but that's the only history I got, is being old. But I think back on how courageous they were. Because England was not a kind place to people who dissented. Ask Anne Boleyn. Well, you can't cut her. She's headless. But when you what you deliver, and you're on the playing field now. I'm in the bleachers along with all the other citizens. But I don't think elected officials. And I don't mean to just keep referring to Washington, but duh, you're on the playing field. And what I find with the Massachusetts House and Senate is they get stuff done. Now, they may not like it, but it's for the betterment of the whole, the good of the whole.
I think we get stuff done. We do it in a collaborative manner, and no one's perfect. No system is perfect. So I'm not trying to say that. There are people that think we don't do things fast enough. There are people that think we don't do enough in either direction, and there's people that think we do too much in whichever direction. But in the end, like we still all talk to each other. We still, with very few exceptions, are
Respectfully,
yeah
I had to add that. I'm sorry.
yeah no it's true are not just thinking up like what's the next press hit I can get, like what's the next headline I can make for
Yeah.
myself at the expense of like getting work done. So I'll tell you a recent story. We had a representative from the city of Gloucester, and she was only 53, and she died.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, it was horrible. And nice woman. When I was in my first term, I don't know why my computer keeps doing that, if you can hear that noise, sorry. When I was in my first term, we were in the same office suite on the agriculture committee, and my father, that was when my father died very unexpectedly at 56. And yeah, she was one of the people that was very, very kind and considerate about that, and only less than 10 years older than me, but like still like a big sister aunt kind of role. Anyway, I went to her funeral in Gloucester 2 weeks ago now. 1,000 people, literally like 1,000 people, big, big church, and talking about her spirit of service. And so what was amazing to me was in 2025, with everything going on in the national scene, the people that spoke at her funeral were Governor Healey, a Democrat, the minority leader of the Republican Party in the Senate, Bruce Tarr, who she overlapped with, and spoke like so great about how close they were, how friendly they were, how they worked together on so many issues together. Governor Baker was there, former Speaker DeLeo was there. It's like you just had this cross section of people that realized the reason we do this work is to serve, is to make life better for the people we represent in that giant map of 57 towns or out on Cape Ann. I learned from her. I never knew a thing. There's a thing we do in Massachusetts that we take clams that are like polluted, and we clean them so that the fisher people here, fishers in Massachusetts can sell them. Imagine that. Like, so you
No,
learn from each other, and you
I
learn
know.
that, you know, if I help something that's happening on Cape Ann in the Northeast, they're going to help something that they learn about here in the Berkshires. But the whole point being, we take the time to listen. There were people from both parties present and genuinely upset and genuinely celebrating her work. And you contrast with that with Washington, where like there's one of these shootings, and the first reaction, and this is both sides of the aisle, I'm sorry,
Oh, believe me,
is
I'm
it was one of yours. It's like, are you kidding me? Not just like universally, this is a horrendous thing, and blah 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 blah. So no, I think, while not perfect, Massachusetts remains a leader
I
and
think,
remains an example for like, this is how you're supposed to do things. There's moments on the floor of the Senate that we vigorously debate, and that we take strong stands for or against something, and that there's votes that are, you know, 30 to 10. Like it happens. It happens. But then we recognize, we go back to what's the common ground. And Congress has become, and the presidency has become, how do we just keep things narrow, and how do we keep everybody constantly on edge to eke out this little win?
That's
It's
right.
terrible. It's
And
when.
the press jumped, not to interrupt.
No, yes.
The press should be held accountable too.
The press
Because
hardly.
I happened to be watching
Yeah.
because I was too lazy to get up and shut the TV off. And I had left a control somewhere that I couldn't find initially. But I was watching the president at one of his round tables because I couldn't change the channel. And I fell asleep and woke up. He was still talking. But he had, you could obviously, he wasn't sleeping. He had his eyes closed. Well, the next day, Trump falls asleep. Trump, and they got pictured that 30 seconds or 60 seconds, his eyes were closed. And I'm all for freedom of the press, but the press has got to cut right down the middle.
But and there are so many actual bad things to report about. Like, you know, I know we stay neutral on this show, and I don't want people watching to like, you know, not think that they're welcome to, you know,
No, anybody's in any.
everyone's welcome. You know, the people that didn't vote for me, I work for you the same, and that's how every level of government
That's right.
should work. But there's so many like real things to talk about that it's always this goofy stuff. Like, ugh, man.
Childish. It's like middle school elections,
Right.
really. But the good news is And I don't want to be, everything's okay. I know everything isn't okay. But I also know there are people having their own personal struggles that are much more difficult than some of the stuff these elected officials have to deal with. Now, and why I compliment the Massachusetts legislative body and on occasion a governor, is because they get it done. Continuing resolutions. We're going to shut down the government. No one elected you to shut down the government. They elected you to keep the damn government open. And it's both sides. I mean, but when I drive through the Berkshires, especially now, everybody's, I am so, and I've been all over the world, and I could have retired anywhere. In fact, I probably should have retired somewhere. But how beautiful a place the Berkshires, the United States. Every time I came back from a foreign country, as nice as they were, the Netherlands was beautiful. I loved the people. Of course, I loved the food. The UK, they were wonderful. Didn't care for the food. Don't take that personally. But I got off that plane and I said, as I was walking into the turn, thanks God for letting me be born in the United States of America. And I wish some of us would just sit back and think about that. I know you do.
Yeah, well, and in the holiday season, like I when I was let me think how to word this. The movie It's a Wonderful Life. When I was a kid, I thought that was really boring. And now as I've gotten more mature and older, if you look at like the underlying message of that and of A Christmas Carol and of whatever other story, it's like, do we take enough time to appreciate what we have, to appreciate who we are and who we surround ourselves with? And, how have our values changed? And again, I am not picking on any one person, but in A Christmas Wonderful Life, Mr. Potter is like this greedy jerk, and everyone hates him. And now he's like the hero. If we made it today, like, how do we?
You could be president.
Exactly. George Bailey, he says to them, you're fostering meaningless dreams and blah blah blah, but like, yeah, isn't that the point? And so you see like some of the stuff going on in the world, and it's just we are so lucky, or we should be so lucky, to be alive at a moment where, if we wanted to, no one has to be hungry. And if we wanted to, there doesn't have to be war anymore. And if we wanted to, we can be, unfortunately, no one's going to live forever, but we can be much healthier and live much longer than our grandparents and our great grandparents and people 200 years ago. So, I mean, if we appreciated that and recognized what it meant and what the potential was for the future, we'd be in such better shape.
And and not to be a Debbie Downer, but I really also think that this year, all of us should focus on the education of our children.
Oh yeah, that's
I
true.
mean, absenteeism. I don't know. When I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program, they all had absentee records you wouldn't believe. If they made it to school for 45 days, an entire year was a lot. excuse me. So I think we should do that. But the other thing I think we should do, and I try to do it at the end of every show, and that is say, lift people up. Make somebody smile. People say, boy, you're a jokester. Well, you know what? I'd rather see a smile on your face. You can laugh at me. I mean, I look in the mirror, I laugh at me, They say God has a sense of humor, and I'm it. But be nicer to each other. I mean, just coming back from the doctor's office, I had the light turned green. I went, and this guy flew through the another 4 feet. He'd have got me. Now, are you in that big a hurry? I think personal reassessment. They say I'm not making any resolutions because I break them. I make them at midnight and I break them at 8 in the morning. But I am going to work harder at trying to be a peacemaker. I just see all this anger in the world, and all even in Pittsfield. I mean, there's anger.
No, and in the little towns too. I mean, it's again, it's normal. It's human nature. It's how you express it, how you make
Right.
other people
Excellent point.
feel about
Excellent.
it. Yeah, and like the why. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I drive to Boston a lot. It can take
Really?
yeah,
Wow, here's my surprise face.
it can take between 2 hours and 15 minutes and 3.5 hours and completely unpredictable.
Yeah.
What I've learned over the years, and before I worked doing this, I drove 3 nights a week to law school in Boston too,
Yeah.
after working here at the phone company. What it didn't come easy.
No.
But what I learned was, as angry as I get when I'm sitting in traffic, it doesn't make it go any faster.
No.
It
No.
just makes me feel really angry about it. That's Dick Van Dyke just turned 100 years old, right? And
Yes.
I loved him. I loved Mary
Oh,
Poppins.
me too.
Oh my God. And when he was saying that's a thing, I don't know how he managed to do it, but that he does not feel that anger, like he always lets it go, and he thinks
Yeah.
that's why. And I mean, the dude's sharp, 100 years old, telling stories, like
Yeah.
it's unbelievable. And he said his poor his father was only 74 but always felt angry, and he thought that was like the difference. And it's
There's
a
got to
hard
be
thing.
some physiological stuff. Your blood
Sure.
pressure goes up. There's all kinds of
Yeah.
you and what do you get out of it?
Well, that's the thing, and it's hard to learn. And in the end, though, it's boy, I don't want to lose 15 years off my life because of being angry. And even like,
No.
so my father was not angry, but my father dealt with a lot of stress. And we've talked a lot about
Yeah.
economic challenges we faced and such. And I mean, the poor man died at 56 years old, and I'm sure that was a factor. Was stress,
Oh, sure.
worry, and also he often worked the overnight shift, and that's not good for you.
No, and I think a lot of that being police, every cop that I don't know, maybe different now. When I started, you started on midnights, and I had an awful time adjusting to that, be just simply because you're all before you get on the job, you go to bed at 8, 10, whatever, and now you're up walking around at 2 in the morning on North Street on 13 below zero, looking for criminals that aren't going to be out in that cold. I tried to tell the lieutenant that it's too cold; they won't come out tonight. Yeah, well, you just keep walking. We're going to take a break. I'm here with a person that I'm glad I'm spending my New Year's Day with, at least an hour of it. His name is Paul Mark. He's a man of integrity. He's a state senator. He's a guy that walks up to the plate every time. He may not always hit the ball, but he's swinging at the ball for something that's important to us, you and me. Stay tuned. We'll be chatting and laughing and making fun of each other in the next half hour. But until then, we are WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, and we are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Happy New Year.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
What is One Berkshire? We're the voice of the business community, promoting the region and supporting local business. How do we do it? Through marketing, networking, sponsorships, and advocacy. Whether it's promotion to travelers and second homeowners, or opportunities to network with your neighbors and raise your profile, we've got you covered. So join today. Visit oneberkshire.com. That's the number one, berkshire.com.
The preceding public service announcement courtesy of WTBR and Lee Bank.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, we are back. I'm here with a guy, as I said, you know, you're not supposed to take sides, and I don't know if he's going to have an opponent or not, but I can speak to him. What he's done for people, I've said, go please see him when issues with the state. Now, he can't do issues with the federal government. The mayor of Boston does those back and forth. That's why we lost $580 million. you know, one of the things I did learn in my old days at North Junior High, never pick a fight with a bully. You know, but anyhow, what's the best part about your job?
Well, you learn different things all the time, and even having done it for a while now, like I feel like I'm always like learning new things. So just like as an aside, a friend, good guy, senator from Lowell, he died. I was the vice chair of bonding. Now I'm the chair of bonding, and like I'm learning so much about how we finance things in terms of
giving.
Yeah. And like
yeah,
the different
that's got to be interesting.
Yeah. Like there's general bonds and there's special bonds and like how we borrow, how we make sure we don't borrow more. It's like managing like a credit card that you know, we could. I have a $25,000 limit, so I could probably go out and spend all that, right? No, I can do, you know, $800 a month or else I'm going to be in some trouble. And like the state has that as well. Washington was another place Washington could learn from us. So you're always doing new things like that. But then like you go to interesting events. So I was at an event a few weeks ago in the town of Williamsburg, and it was the Grange, which is like an agricultural society.
Yeah. They used to have one here in Pittsfield.
Yeah. So they're still going. It's their 125th anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah. And I learned about like why the Grange started and that it was about farmers, small town farmers, uniting against like Big Ag back then, and after the Civil War. And so I talked about when I made them a presentation, I talked about, so when you were founded, there was no such thing as an airplane. There was no such thing as the American League, you know, like all these things. Like I said, Teddy Roosevelt had just been elected the vice president. Like,
wow.
Like weird stuff. So you learn a lot all the time. And I like that. And then I guess the second best thing is when you do something for someone, whether it's some funding comes through, or you help someone like very individually, like just maybe get through to unemployment or renew their license. Or even like I got to come on, I got to say a lot of nice things about you. I went on the telethon.
Oh, wow.
For, WTBR and such.
Yeah.
And I think it meant something that I spent a half hour with them, and I talked about the value of like having a show like this, and I talked about some of what goes on in the State House. And so being able to help people, being able to accomplish something that's positive for the community you represent and serve, I mean, I think is good. When I think about why I started doing this, and like, you want to set the world on fire, of course, because I was, you naively think everyone's going to think, wow, well, you have great ideas. We've been waiting for you. Oh my God. but what I've wanted to accomplish has been opening doors, like opening opportunity, and like just free community college.
That to me is such a gift.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a great opportunity.
Yes.
And like, I was in that class at BCC, and I asked, like, this was free for all of you, and I think they said it was, and I made a joke about, oh, I should get another associates, and they said there's an age limit. I'm like, how dare you?
Well, you can't get it because you already got a degree.
Yeah, no.
Well, you know, not talking about BCC, which I love. I would not have had, and I'm not afraid to tell anybody this, and anybody that was with me in high school knows I'm not lying, because I thought high school was a great social experiment. I didn't realize it was academic until it was too late. But the Polish princess and I went to to show you how cutting edge BCC is, went to a AI course, me, and right? Mm-hmm. Both of us in our late 70s, we're in AI. And I said, well, if I can come out of here with a better way of knowing how to spell it, then I'll be good. or abbreviate it. It was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have its wonderful, wonderful breakthrough points. And it's going to have points that we got to keep a close eye on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's... You know, these kiddos talking to a computer that's helping them commit suicide. I mean, anyhow, I don't want to go into negative stuff, but what a year we got coming up with AI, and I'm not afraid of it, because I, through my police career, I met a lot of people with artificial intelligence.
It used to mean absent.
yeah. But anyhow, the challenges, all the things that we have to deal with, let's deal with them with a smile on our face and a spring in our step. We'll overcome any obstacle if we just take our time and think it through.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this haste, all this haste and pace, we got to go. You know, I'm at the stage now that I can't do that anymore for a variety of reasons. But when I see these people, I got to go. Where are you going? Oh, I got to get home. Okay, why? Get the dog out. What? No. I got to make sure that we have something for supper.
Hmm.
Okay. That's called planning ahead. Yeah, and you know, I don't want to go back again, but I do want to address maybe the legislature. Now, this is, you're a lawyer too, and your mother was not happy with that. We spoke. Maybe the legislature should put some of the burden back on some of the people responsible for getting their kids to school under the Child in Need of Services statute.
For the absenteeism?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
I mean, I understand that there's parents working 2 and 3 jobs, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand from past experience with the youthful offenders, there are parents who don't care if their kids go to school. The most famous story I've told this before on the radio, one of the kids, I said, you got a deplorable attendance record. He goes, oh, yeah, I know. My mother and I, we didn't think too much of school. I go, but I'm going to be okay. You see, my mother got pregnant in the 9th grade for me, dropped out of school, and she's doing okay. And it's that, and I'm not saying it's all of them, but I'm saying a lot of them, the parents, you know, my mother, you didn't have to worry about getting up to go to school. Trust me. You were up an hour or 2 hours before school. So, but we have to do something. We can't continue these horrible rates. And as we go into this new year, let's collectively, what can the legislature do to help out the school systems?
Well, a thing we did in the Senate that the House probably is going to take up is about the cell phones in the schools and limiting,
yeah,
or at least giving the district power, to limit. So when I teach, it's at the community college level. It's not in high school or middle school or anything like that. I find that generally the students are interested in paying attention, but once in a while, it's hard to know. Like, are they taking notes or are they just looking at Facebook or something? And that's whether it's a laptop, or a phone. And so I also think, like, I try to make, whenever I can, like, the lesson, like, more interactive. So that they're, it's like you you can't teach, or you can't expect students to learn in a world that has changed in 50 years the way they did 50 years ago. So, school, I'm going to say this as a person that high school graduate, 6 college degrees, school's always been boring. Like, that's normal. Yeah. When I was in 8th grade, I thought school was boring.
Yeah.
You know, I have continued though to learn and now also educate. You have to make it more interesting. I mean, I remember, like, classes I liked. We had a class, Shakespeare. That's not necessarily something I'd be doing on my own. And, you know, we read it out loud together. We act out. Like, that was a great class. That was a great high school class. As opposed to, like, I remember a different class, like English 2 or something. And you just kind of
trudge through.
Yeah, you know.
Comma here.
Yates did.
Yeah.
Yeah, James William Joyce. Butler.
Yeah, William, yeah, yeah, Butler, yeah. Exactly. See, we remember it, but we didn't. I never got into it.
And I've told this. The best example of cooperative learning is what I'll call it. I don't know if that's right or not.
Mm-hmm.
Hands-on learning, geometry, 10th grade geometry. The teacher whose name escapes me. As long as, and so does where I just parked the car, brought in a tabletop pool table and showed us angles.
right.
Well, you know what? All of a sudden, it wasn't just drawing lines and then 90 degrees.
Yep.
It had relevance. Now, there were, in those days, there still was the pool hall in Pittsfield. So we would go down a seedy place. But I thought, what a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant way to introduce geometry.
Yeah, no, it is. It's so, to the question about, like, what can the legislature do? I guess what we can do is make sure there's resources to encourage teachers to think differently, to be dynamic, to reward teachers that are good, and also to make sure that if you want to attract the best people to teach students, and like, there's not much I can think of that's more important than preparing the next generation. Like, you have to make sure that they're making enough money that they can focus. If you're teaching and then you're doing three other jobs on the side because you're barely cutting it because everything's so expensive, like that all adds up. But you need to make sure that they're supported and that they have the resources they need, I think is gigantic. And it doesn't mean like a blank check, because there's someone out there that's going to listen to this and be like, oh, so just throw money at the problem. That's not what we're saying. We're saying
no.
Making sure they have the right resources and the right.
That's right.
Yeah. The right incentives to do the right thing. And every subject and every teacher is going to have a different style, but if they have the tools to connect, I think it's going to make a difference. Yeah. And even if one of those tools is seven of the kids are on their phone and then they're telling me, well, I have to be because I'm expected to do blah, 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 blah by my parents or whatever it is. Like, it's not just, I'm not screwing around here. I'm not on TikTok or whatever. I'm actually planning out how I'm going to pick up my younger brother. And like, that's great. But there has to be a moment, like even at work, or school, or at the or wherever it is, like, that we have to be able to focus. And that includes me. Like, I'm not looking at my phone right now. I could be. I'm sure people are texting me. I'm sure there's calls coming in, but like, there has to be a moment where we feel that rush you've been talking about, that it needs to wait. That, you know.
And I also think too, we have to back the teachers and the school administrators up. Sure. Now, I know you have a division down there, Depsy?
Desi, yeah.
Yeah, I call it Depsy. they got to get out of their office and get in the field.
Yes.
Suspending, you suspended too many kids. Well, they punched the teacher. What would you like us to do? And I've had teachers tell me kids have pushed them. And I mean, maybe tighten up is a better term. Tighten up the discipline. Give the local school districts the discipline. Sitting in this always has driven me crazy. And by now, you know, me going crazy is not an over. I don't pack a bag. We would get, even in law enforcement, criminal justice training council back years, you'd get these edicts from academicians, you know. Well, you should, when you go to a family disturbance, you should walk in and say, hey, good evening. Well, have you ever been to family disturbance? They ain't having a good evening.
Well, so the local empowerment makes sense because what Pittsfield schools need is definitely different than like in the Mohel or Central Berkshire.
Absolutely.
Like, even over in Hancock, I mean, you got, I don't even know how many kids are in there in that school, but if you've got students that have come up K through eighth grade in a school of less than 50 people together, I mean that's a big difference than how they're doing things in Worcester and
we're urban.
Yeah,
there's rural, and then you and I have talked about this. There's rural. Yeah. I mean, you have some towns that are rural. Right. Try saying that after 12 Budweisers. But no, I think you're right. In understanding that South in Boston is going to be different than Taconic.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's basic uniform standards, foundational standards. The guy at the Berkshire Eagle was just asking me about this. The governor or somebody's proposing some new graduation thing. And
oh, yeah.
It's like, all right, what's good is, yeah, there needs to be a minimum standard that to prove you knew algebra, that you got a 70 or better on an algebra test. That's great. The flexibility needs to be, how do we make sure the students are learning that in a way that meets where they are and gives them the ability to succeed. And that is, again, different in the Hancock one room schoolhouse as opposed to Taconic or whatever's happening in Fall River. I mean, it's a different needs. And how do you balance those interests? I mean, because if we were standalone, the last statistic I saw was Massachusetts is like sixth best in the world if we were our own country. And the last I knew, we were number one state by state. And like, that's...
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, that's big. But
I still think that with these headlines in the paper, absenteeism, it's not a school problem. It's a collective problem. It's a legislative problem. It's an educational problem. It's a family problem. It's a social problem. I mean, we're all, maybe I'm wrong, and I don't mean to get off on a tangent here, but why is it always, it's the police fault? Well, they were responding to a riot. Yeah. But I think my hope, where'd you go?
I'm here.
oh no, I mean, on my screen here, hold on. Oh, this technology is going to put me in a grave. Back to meeting. There we go. Now, you know, the good thing about the guys at the station are happy because now when I go into the control room, they won't have to make me wear mittens so I don't touch any buttons. my goal for this year, hope for this year, is that we come and get some resolution to serious problems, not more bickering. Not more power struggles. Just we're out here. I guess this is to legislatures. The people are out here looking for answers, not shutting down governments. I see so much of it. So many people today who really do need a hand up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 And if we've talked about this a lot,
yep.
If you aren't eating at home, well, you don't want to go to school. And if you can't get lunch at school because you can't afford it or your parents can't afford it, like you don't want to go. I mean, so like there's so much more.
Yeah, that's right.
Like peripheral things. And so, yeah, I think as a government, there should be some basic standards, again, that like we want to make sure people aren't going hungry, that they have a house over their a roof over their head. Basics, my God. And yeah, there's people that aren't gonna take, and that's their choice, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But like there needs to be basics, and if you provide that foundation, then people choose not to succeed is different. Right. But like they have to have the ability to choose that and get ahead. I mean, back to this, It's a Wonderful Life. I know someone, if they ever see this show, they're gonna laugh at me because I make fun of that movie a lot. But Jimmy Stewart, he says, I don't know how long it takes a man to save $5,000, and that's back 50 years ago. Yeah. And it's the same now. It's like,
I know
it takes forever because we can't, like, even me, I feel like I never get ahead, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Well, it you should be on what used to be fixed incomes. They're now shrinking incomes. You know, so instead of having two hot dogs, we split one, you know. But you know, on a bright side, I think a lot of what we discussed are ongoing. The goal is, like with the school thing and the attendance thing, get involved, see what you can do to make it happen. What are some of the problems? Maybe the legislature needs to change some laws. Maybe they need to create new laws. But those things, until you study them and put them into action, they're just words. You know, I'm working with a company now, and they have a new strategic plan. And I said, well, they sent it to me. It's beautifully written, beautifully written. And I said, well, right now it's nothing but words on paper. How are we going to, ready for this? Operationalize it. Mm-hmm. Oh. because that's what we have to do with our laws. I think we do a great job here. And I know I'm on Massachusetts, but I've lived in a lot of states. Now, I'll tell you a state, and quickly before we run out of time. We lived in Kansas. And there's something to be said about the people from the middle of the country. They're much more outgoing. They at a T-ball game, they used to have cops. Honest. They had to have cops because of the oh boy, Billy. Hold on there, big boy. Don't go away. What happened to my cord? I'm going to lose my bat. Don't go away. Now we're talking about energy. but the people were so vested in their kids and school plays. You had to get there an hour early to get a seat. You know?
Yeah.
And I want to take 1 minute before you go, Paul. If ever you get an opportunity to go to the Colonial Theater.
I love the Colonial Theater. Yeah.
Well, the last weekend they had ballet, the Nutcracker.
Nice.
They had five sessions, five different performances, because the place over in Albany was closed.
Yeah.
Warmed my heart to be there. Over 400 people at each performance.
Awesome. That's great.
One had almost 490.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, that's parental involvement. That's become involved with your kiddos. Don't let them sit. You know, we're out one time eating. There's a family of five, mom, dad, and the three kids. They all got their phones. Nobody's talking.
Right.
So whatever you can do to make this a better year, all of the listeners, and be kind. It costs nothing to be kind. It may lift somebody's spirit for you to say thank you. Have a great day. I know I'm old-fashioned. That's because I'm old. And I like old-fashioned stuff. your parting words for the new year.
Have a great new year. May our community continue to grow and thrive and be successful. And I say it every year, but may this be the best year yet. And may we find a way to come together and find hope and work together to make sure that the least among us has the same opportunity as the most successful, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what the country has a founding mission too, and it's to create a more perfect union, establish justice, provide for the common for defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. See, I know the preamble of the Constitution. That's our mission statement as a country, and I think we need to be doing a lot more of that. And then just very locally, have a great new year. I hope you had a great holiday season, and thank you for the opportunity to serve you in the State House.
And thank you for all the good work you do for all of us, and I mean that from my heart. I kid with you a lot, but what you do for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and the people that live here, someday people will write about you. My thing to you is God bless, and as I always say, and I know it upsets some of you, but it's my belief. But let's take care of each other. Really, you don't have to fall over backwards, but you don't have to be mean. So lift people up. Don't put people down. What does it do when you put somebody down? To me, it brings you down. Think about it. Think about it. Kindness costs nothing. Happy New Year. You won't be seeing me much next year. You'll find out about that on January 6th, our anniversary show. And I can't wait to have some of you come on. And Paul, they'll be getting in touch with you.
Sounds good.
Be well, everyone. God bless, and happy, happy New Year. Be well. Thanks, Paul. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend.